This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What do you say?
Amen.
And truly, it is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. And as I look out to our congregation, there is a vast gamut of cultures. And I picture that and envision that this is what heaven is going to be like. Amen.
Amen?
And so with that, I say happy Sabbath, Feliz Sábado. Bulavinaka, Fafitaileo Tua, Maloilele, and if I miss any other cultural greeting, I will greet you at the Tree of Life when we get into heaven. This morning, it is truly a blessing to be amongst true believers, and I do thank one of your members, Sister Timara, for organizing everything and getting me here this morning or this weekend to speak to our Tongan women, and God has blessed them immensely. This is their first annual women's retreat, and so I also like to thank Pastor Peter, even though he is not with us, for allowing us to meet here at your beautiful facility this weekend, and also allowing me to step into his pulpit as a broken vessel to share the gospel of the Lord with us this morning. And, you know, I have to apologize before we begin because in traveling here yesterday, as you can imagine with the last name Vunileva, I'm always considered a special traveler when you come through airports. And so because of that, they had to take everything, you know, they took everything out of my laptop and all that out of my bag. And in the process of going through my things, they must have held on to my thumb drive, which I had on my PowerPoint. But this morning we are learning a lesson that we have to go back to the original power, the Word of God, which points us to the only way, the only truth, the only life, Jesus Christ. What do you say?
Amen.
Yes, God is so good. And according to my clock, there's only 10 minutes left before the holy hour of 12. You know, in my last district in Arkansas, Louisiana, I had a member, and Sam always sat on the second pew to my left. And every time I got up to preach, and when the clock hit 10 to 12 like it is now, Sam will start stretching. And if I didn't pay Sam any attention, he will do the same gesture 5 minutes later. And then that means, preacher, you better wrap it up because I need to go and eat. You know, it is only 10 minutes to 12, but the Lord didn't bring us into his house to be done at 12, if that's okay.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Now say amen like you really mean it.
Amen.
Praise be the Lord.
Amen.
Our Father and our God, we praise you and we thank you this morning that as we come from different cultures, different financial brackets, different elements of each and every one of our lives this morning, we praise you that the common denominator is a man named Jesus. And as we come, may we come and leave everything at the foot of your cross, and may we know that your love is a love that is everlasting. It's a love that is eternal. It is a love that is unconditional. And because of that love, we can count ourselves amongst the righteous and children of your kingdom. Anoint these lips of clay, and may your word be clear, and may we leave from your house, and you alone be high and lifted up is our prayer. May all of God's redeemed say, amen and amen. You know, this weekend is a weekend that our nation celebrates the whole concept of what? I didn't hear any gentlemen. It is a Valentine's Day weekend. There's a lot of men that's going to be in trouble. But on this Valentine's Day weekend where our nation celebrates the whole concept of love, after this very weekend, we as Americans would have spent $20 billion with a capital B. We would have spent $20 billion in spending money and showing our significant others how much we love them. And praise be the Lord, we can do that. But as saints of God this morning, I would challenge you to always remember that the love that God has called us into as a corporate body is a love that does not happen just one weekend out of the whole year. But it's a daily walk. This morning, for the next couple of minutes, I would like to share with you, in my mind, what I believe God's gift, or what God has given you and I, so that we can show that love daily in our lives. Turn back with me to the book of Revelation. John the Revelator, the second chapter, and the 17th verse. The Word of God says, "He," and I would add, "she who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says to whom?" What the Spirit says to the churches, to them who overcome. To them who do what function? That's right. To them who overcome, to him or her, I will give them some of the hidden manna. What kind of manna? Hidden manna, and I will give them a white stone. What kind of stone? White stone. And a new name. What kind of name? A new name. You're right there with me. Written on the stone which no one knows but he or she who receives it. The Word of God tells us this morning through John the Revelator that God has a gift for you and I. You know, I've been married for 5 years now, and I love my wife to death. But you know, men, there is something about women, and I'm learning in this process that, you know, as I purchase my wife something, and she will take that gift and she will unwrap or open that gift, and she will say, "Oh, baby, this is so nice." And I'm like, "I know." And then she says, "But." Uh-oh. And she says, "But by the way, do you happen to have the receipt?" I have some witnesses this morning. I love what you have purchased and you have got me, honey, but do you have the receipt? Saints of God, God's love is a love that is unconditional. But he tells us in his holy word this morning that there is not just any manna for you, but what kind of manna? Hidden manna. So the question then is, what is this hidden manna? I'm glad you asked. Keep your fingers there and turn with me to the Old Testament. Book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, reading from verse 3. The Word of God says, "He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with what? With manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by what? Bread alone, but he lives by what? Not just some, but he lives by every word that proceeds from where? That proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." Now, turn back to the New Testament Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew, the 4th chapter, and verse 4. We find Jesus Christ here being tempted in the wilderness. And in chapter 4, verse 4, the word of God says, "And he," Jesus, "answered and said to Satan, it is written, man shall not" what? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but live by" what? "Every word that proceeds" from where? "From the mouth of the Lord." Now, Jesus himself quotes from where? He quotes from the Old Testament. But what we find here, first and foremost, that the manna, not just any manna, but what kind of manna? The hidden manna is what? Is the word of God? Is somebody still with me? It is the word of the Lord. Hidden manna is the word of the Lord. And so if something is hidden, you and I have to do what? We have to find it. We have to search for it. And in order for us to be astute and sharp and to stand as the last hours of this earth's history is coming to an end, we have to dig in and find this hidden manna for ourselves. Because let me remind you, saints of God, this morning, you will not walk through the pearly gates because you're hanging on to the hem of your father's a coat as a preacher. This is not going to be your mama or your daddy's theology. It has to be your own truth. And in order to take in that truth, you and I have to dig. Hidden manna. My four-year-old, he loves to play this hide-and-seek game with me. And so I would say, 1, 2, 3, ready or not, what? Here I come. And then he hides, and then when I find him, and he says, and I say, "Okay, your turn." And then he says, "Okay, Daddy, I'm counting. 1, 5, 9, 7. Ready or not, here or what? Here I come. God has reminded you and I that there will come a day that he surely shall return, and he will say, "Ready or not, here I what? Here I come." And I'm coming to take those who have taken the time to dig into my word and will live with me, not just for a season, but for eternity. Is somebody still awake in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Praise be the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus, the 16th chapter. You know, the good thing about Sabbath, where we have all church potlucks, is nobody has an excuse to go home. We're just going out, and like the children of Israel, we're going to go in and break bread together. So church can go until 2 o'clock before we get out. Lord have mercy. All right. Book of Exodus, the 16th chapter. Exodus chapter 16. This chapter, we find that there is a dialogue between God and Moses himself. And what we will find here is God telling Moses, or talking to Moses, about physical manna. And in the 16th chapter, look at verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will do" what? "Rain bread or manna from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a" how much portion? "A day's portion." That's right. "Every day that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my" what? "In my law" or "in my instruction." This dialogue now between God and Moses, and God tells Moses, "I will not just trickle down manna, but I will do" what? "I will rain down." Now, when I was pastoring in Louisiana, If there's any of you here from Louisiana, you have not experienced rain until you have experienced rain in Louisiana. Because when the weather says it's going to rain, believe you me, it's coming down. It's going to pour down. And now that we're in Denver, when they say it's going to snow, you better believe it. It's going to come down. But God reminds us this morning, family, and he tells us in his whole story, and as he's spoken to Moses himself, and he is speaking to you and I on his holy Sabbath in the 21st century, I will rain down manna upon you that you will not know what to do with it. I will bless you immensely. I will bless you so much. All you have to do, don't worry about it, brother, is to lean on whom? To lean on me, God. Some of us have come, thank you, to the house of the Lord this morning, not knowing how we're going to pay the rent next month. And some of us are sitting right here, right now, not knowing, how am I going to continue to afford to pay for my child's Christian education? Some of us are here this morning in this love weekend, not knowing where that significant other is. But God is reminding you and I this morning that regardless of what the devil tries to put in our path, regardless of what that issue or that valley is for you and I, keep your focus on me, God, and I will rain down manna upon you. But he says, I will do so in my time. Be patient, be diligent, and keep the course. Continue here in the same chapter. And he says in verse 14 and verse 15. By the way, y'all like my skirt? Praise be to the Lord. All right. It's all right. I like it too. Okay, let's get back to this word. Chapter 16, verse 14 and 15. And when the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness, there was a what? Fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. And notice verse 15. And when the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? That's what manna means. What is it? What is it? And so God is reminding you and I this morning that when we dig into his hidden word, to his holy word, and we find the what for ourselves, guess what happens after that? The end result is you and I will be a walking flame for the kingdom. And when that happens, everybody around the neighborhood, in the community, they are going to wonder, what is happening at the Paradise Seventh-day Adventist Church? I want to be part of that. Not because of the preacher, not because of the choir, but all because of Jesus. What is that? What is it? You know, a lot of times, when God rains down manna on us, we answer the same way like Israel of old. And we say, what is it? And instead of accepting it just at face value that it is a miracle of God, we try to explain it that somehow, some way, it's my doing. My grandmother's uncle's aunt must have sent me this money. Instead of just saying, glory, hallelujah, my Savior, my Redeemer, he lives. What is it? Look down to verse 22. Same chapter. Now on the sixth day, on the what day? The sixth day, they gathered how much? twice as much bread. And then he said to them, this is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is the what day? Tomorrow is the what day? Is the Sabbath day. That's right. Tomorrow is the Sabbath day, or Sabbath of observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. And look down to verse 26. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the which day? On the seventh day, the Sabbath, there shall be what? That's right. So God is saying, and he is directing the general, Dr. Moses, and he says, tell the troops, you will gather a day's portion for how many days? For 6 days, that's right, or 5 days. And when you come to the sixth day, a preparation day, you shall gather how much? Twice as much. Praise the Lord. Y'all still with me? But on the seventh day, which is the what day of the Lord? The Sabbath, there shall be what? None. And you know what? Why that is? Because God wanted to make sure that on his Sabbath, that on the seventh day of the week, they, the children of Israel, are just living off the overflow. Oh, mercy. Somebody just missed that. Y'all still with me? On the seventh day, God's anointed remnant church shall be living off just the what? The overflow. And there's a reason why the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 tells us, seek ye when? The kingdom of God when? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then God then promises, and then not just some, but all these things. Whatever A, L, and L is for you, God says, I know what you're wanting, and I will give you all those things. If you just what? Seek first. Appreciate my brother Larry just sharing a little bit of my background. But, you know, when I got to seminary, I was sponsored my first year. But after the first year, the conference that sponsored me said, Paul, we're sorry, but we can no longer what? Sponsor you. So I took it in stride. I said, okay, Lord, you're going to have to sponsor me now. But in the Lord sponsoring me and living on a very limited budget, my bank account a lot of times went into overdraft. Hey, some of you go right there with me. Y'all know what overdraft ministry is. But for those of you that don't, overdraft simply means that when the funds that you have are depleted and are no longer there, and you go to pull money out, and you still get money out, but now you are in what? Overdraft, because you have taken money out that is not only not your money, but there's no money there, but you're still getting it anyway. When we come to the house of the Lord, if you and I do our due diligence and dig it into his hidden manna, not just when we are in need, but daily in our lives, just like the children of Israel of old, as we come to the house of the Lord on the seventh day, we are just living off the what? Oh, mercy. Somebody said overdraft. We're living off the overflow. The overdraft is God's grace, but that's another sermon at another time. But when we come to the house of the Lord, we are just living off the overflow of what you and I have done in diligently digging into his word every single week. And so when we come into the house of the Lord, we will not have to speak, but the way we carry ourselves is a sermon in itself. And people will just be drawn and come and experience this Christ child for themselves. Because it's all about Jesus. I will give you the hidden manna. But our part is to what? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be what? Open unto you. That's our part to do. 12:15. Can y'all still, you still with me? Are you, anybody hungry? Okay. I'm sorry. We're going to dig into the word of God a little more. Is that okay? Yeah. All right. Amen. Amen. I like that. Praise the Lord. Pastor Peter's got a great church. Okay. Turn now to the book of Psalms. Psalms, the 119th chapter. Psalms 119, verse 103. The psalmist David says, how sweet are your what? How sweet are your words to my lips or to my taste? Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Did you catch that? God says that when you dig in to find the manna for yourselves, the spiritual manna, the manna that I have given and blessed you for my word, he says here through the psalmist David, how sweet are your words to my what? To my taste buds. Yes, sweeter than honey to where? Sweeter than honey to my mouth. God promises us that when we abide in him and walk with him and dig into him, his word is going to be sweeter than honey to our lips. But notice, like the children of Israel, they were focused on a promised land, a land that was filled and full with what? With milk and honey. And a lot of times they did not focus on the Savior himself that was sweeter than honey in their spiritual walk. Your word is sweeter than honey to my what? To my lips. And as I walked into Sabbath school this morning, Brother Larry read a text that I also will share with you this morning. And that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, and the apostle says, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are what? Perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the word of God. It is the power of God. And this word power is derived from the original Greek word dunamis, in which we get our English word dynamite. And what happens to a dynamite? It explodes. That's right. And so whenever you read the word power in the New Testament, think of dynamite. It's dunamis. And what God is saying through his apostle Paul, he is saying that the speaking and the preaching of the word of God is foolishness to those who are what? Are perishing, but for those who are being saved. Are there any saved saints this morning? What do you say? Amen. Yes, even if you're just waking up, say amen. Amen. But for those who are being saved, it's by the power, the dunamis power, the dynamite power of the word of God. It's the same power that when the woman who was suffering with the issue, with this hemorrhage and the issue of blood for how many years? 12 years. And she said, if I can only do what? Physicians can't do nothing for me. And no, I've expanded all my resources. If I can only touch and reach out to just the hem of his garment. No, preacher, it's okay, Jesus. I don't need to shake your hand. I just need to touch the hem of your garments. And when she did, Jesus says, who what? Who touched me? Notice in this old story that when Jesus said, who touched me? Peter and his 11 buddies said, what kind of question is that, Jesus? Look around. You are surrounded by all these people. A matter of fact, I just touched you 30 seconds ago. But Jesus says, no, you don't understand, Peter. When will you get it? Somebody touch me with some faith. Because dunamis, because power left me. When will we be willing to just reach out and touch the hem of his garment? God says, may you dig in to my hidden manna, to my word. Feed off this word, and I will always uphold you, sustain you. We're almost done. Turn back to our original text in the book of Revelation. John the Revelator. And he says, they that overcome again, I will give them some of the hidden manna. And notice the last part of the verse. And I will give him or her a what kind of stone? A white stone. In second century Palestine, if me and my brother Larry would be walking in and this was a courtroom and the judge will be presiding and me and Larry know that we are guilty as charged. Everybody in the courtroom knows we are guilty as charged. But if the judge stands and he does not say a word, but simply hands out a what kind of stone? When everyone sees that white stone, including me and Larry, that white stone means that, yes, you have been guilty as charged, but you have been pardoned. You have been pardoned. I don't know what the devil is trying to put you through this morning, family. But I know what he's always trying to put me through. And I also realize he has a double PhD in how I tick. And I fall daily. But I praise be the Lord that there was a white stone handed out from the cross of Calvary. And because of that redemptive blood, I, Brother Larry, and everybody here in the house of the Lord can say, though my sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? They shall be white as snow. Go ahead and just play something on the piano. Wanna? They shall be white as snow. Now, if you still have your Bibles open, turn to the third chapter of the book of Revelation as we close this morning. Our main text this morning says that not only I will give him and her a white stone, but a new name written on the stone which no one knows, except he or she who will receive it. And notice in the third chapter of the same book, John the Revelator tells us in the 12th verse, and he says, he or she who overcomes, I will make them a pillar in the temple of my God, and they will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him or her the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Did you catch that? If you forget everything else this morning, may you always remember that not only did God hand out a white stone of saying, heaven is yours, but he tells us here through John the Revelator in the 3rd chapter in the 12th verse that there is a new city, a new Jerusalem, and there is a name, and there is a crown with your name. Your name will no longer be Pastor Paul or Brother Larry or Sister Ann, but it shall be victorious. It shall be the citizen of living in the home that he has gone to prepare. Not because of anything that you and I have done, but all because of him. I told half the truth. I'm going to use one more verse. The 22nd chapter. I love this verse. In verse 17. John the Revelator says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And who is the bride? You and I. The church. And the one who hears say what? And let the one who is thirsty do what? Come. And let the one who wishes to take the water of life without what? Without cost. You know what that means? Without cost simply means that it is free. Eternal life is free of charge. And the Lord has come and he says, for you who are thirsty, whatever that issue is, may you come and draw from the well. Because I have gone to prepare a place and there is a crown with your name. And no one knows the time of my coming. But as we see the events that are happening around us, he is coming soon. What do you say? And he comes and he is waiting to take you and to take me to that home. And whatever you're going through this morning, may you bring it and you leave it at the foot of the cross. And if you and I don't see each other again on this earth, may we walk together through those pearly gates. And we look forward to the day when we hear our Heavenly Father's voice. Well done, O good and faithful servant. Notice God says, well done. He doesn't say, well done, O holier than thou servant. He says, well done, O good and faithful servant. May you enter in to your Father's rest. That is my prayer this morning, that the Lord will continue to lead as we follow in Jesus' name. Our Father and our God, as we come to the foot of your cross yet again this morning, in the serenity of your house, there is somebody here that just needs to feel your presence. There is somebody here who is here physically, but inside they just need to know that you are there for them. Now, some of us are in financial crossroads. Now, some of us are in emotional turmoil. But we are all in need of a Savior this morning. And right now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or come forward. But I'm going to simply just let you cry out to the Lord. to recommit and rededicate your life and to say, Father, may you open the hidden manna of your word into my life. And may you pour out your Holy Ghost and may you rain down on me, not because of me, but in spite of me. Because like the paralytic in Bethesda, in the house of mercy, we have been dying and hurting spiritually for too long. And we just want to be made whole. And this morning, may you recommit and rededicate our lives. For you are a Savior that sits high, but you reach so low. And you reach so low to pick each and every one of us up. And then you say, go ye therefore. And preach to the world, not so much verbally, but how you live your life. That your life will become a walking sermon of the grace, the mercy, and my dunamis power. For I will come soon and take each and every one of us to that home. And now may the grace and the mercy and the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ walk before you. May he walk behind you. May he walk beside you. But Lord Jesus, may you live outside each and every one of us so that one day soon, when you come and take us to that home, we will sing glory, hallelujah, and we will stand on that sea of glass and be around the tree of life, not just for a season, but for a lifetime, is our prayer, may all of God's people say. Amen. Amen. Happy Sabbath. Thank you for coming. God bless.